Thank you for tuning in to the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Versiero here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm delighted to have with us today a guest that I've met just a short time ago, but after spending just a little bit of time with him, I was so impressed and so appreciative of what he does and how he does it, I wanted to make sure we had a chance to hear the rest of his story. His name is Jamie Stepanian Bennett, and he's the Vice President, Client Solutions of iWork. So, Jamie, welcome to our humble show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. And of course, you know, I probably should make sure we help the audience put everything into context. Are you a Michigander by trade? What's your where'd you grow up, and what's your background?
I am a proud Michigander. That's for sure. I grew up in Rochester. Graduate of Michigan State for my undergraduate degree. Went to Oakland University for my master's degrees, and have stayed around the Metro Detroit area postgraduate.
Well, that's impressive, you know, and it's good. It's good when you can find a place to call home. And I have to a little side show real quick, Jamie. I remember as a young person, I was thinking about how much I couldn't stand winters, and I was complaining about them. But then I realized that wait a minute. I love Michigan, and there's no way on this planet that I would want to live anywhere else. And so I decided just to quit complaining about the cold and embrace it and just know that that's coming and that's the way it is. So it sounds like you became a lifelong Michigander too, because you put down some pretty deep roots in this state, haven't you?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think, you know, you got to embrace the seasons. You got to embrace what the state is for all of its splendor, both from the cool urban environment we have here in Detroit and Grand Rapids, all the way through the glory of what is up north in our coastal communities.
Yeah, so, pretty impressive. It's funny, you know, in a former life, we were doing some research on Michigan, and one of the things that we came up with was that Michigan has 11,000 lakes in the within the borders, and I think it's kind of funny because Wisconsin? No, Minnesota brags that they're the land of 10,000 lakes, and we beat them by 1,000. So.
And we got 1,000 more, right?
Yeah, exactly. All good. Well, listen, I'm glad you're here with us, because I wanted to hear a little bit more about your role, your current role at iWork. You're the Vice President, Client Solutions. So tell me a little bit about what that does to keep your day busy.
Sure. So I'm really fortunate to be actually, this is my second go round with iWork. And really, iWork's been a part of my career for the last 10, 15 years almost. Hmm. So I came into the organization hiring iWork as a former client of iWork, worked on the advertising agency marketing side of the business, and used to hire iWork to be my software development and IT solutions organization when I was at a agency in a prior life. I got to know the ownership team here at iWork very well, and they asked me to come work at iWork. And so after saying no several times, I finally said yes to the founder, owner of the company, Tom Lewis, and came here and worked running the software side of the business for 5 years. And after 5 years of doing that, I acquired Big B Coffee as one of our clients, got to know the leadership team at Big B Coffee very well, and acquiesced and accepted an offer working for the founders of Big B Coffee. Worked there for nearly 3 years. And during the pandemic and commuting from Metro Detroit to Lansing has taken its toll, and still remain very friendly with the Big B ownership. Was extended an offer, and the guys at iWork asked me to come back and work for them kind of as a second go-around with the organization. So I find myself back at iWork a third time. So not only have I been a client, I've then gone work for another client and hired iWork a second time, and now I'm back with iWork. That's kind of a third go-around, so to speak. Just different sides, different angles of looking at the business.
Yeah, and they say if you get hired once, that's impressive, but if they hire you back, that's really something to write home about. But sounds like three times for you is a charm. So that's pretty cool.
You know, I think it's a testament to one thing that I've always really embraced from a leadership perspective is to really never burn bridges and stay very true to form and to who you are as an individual, and leading with the values that you were brought up with in probably kindergarten. Wow. Be very honest, be very truthful to who you are, and lead with a great deal of integrity, opposed to, you know, trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes, or, you know, not sacrificing a short-term win.
Right.
for a long-term gain, I guess is probably a good way to think about it.
Well, honestly, Jamie, so, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, throughout my tenure, whether I was at iWork, at Big B or not, you know, I've always maintained those relationships, both with Bob and Mike at Big B, as well as Tom, Zach, and Paul here at iWork.
Yeah.
Wherever I was from a career standpoint, I've always maintained those relationships and really authentic relationships too, not just because, oh, guess what happens? What if this ever happens? It's actually been a very pure of heart relationship that I believe I've established with all of my former employers and current employers.
Yeah. Well, look, Jamie, I'm really grateful to have you with us here today. What you just shared is probably wonderful enough that we can call the show and say that's it right there. You'd hit a home run as far as as far as offering advice to our audience. But we're glad you've got five more segments to talk to you about all the other great things going on in your life. I'm so glad you're here with us today, Jamie. It's glad you've tuned in to the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuro, and we're going to be right back.
Physicians Health Plan is local. For 35 years, we've been a part of your community, and we take pride in helping you get the coverage, care, and personal service you deserve. Go to phpmichigan.com for more information. We're the health plan that works for you.
Welcome back to the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verschuro here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm with Jamie Stepania Bennett, and he is the Vice President, Client Solutions for iWork. And Jamie, in that last segment, I was like, oh my gosh, is that good juice that you just poured out on the table there? That was wonderful stuff. And I think about sometimes as we think about burning bridges, or it was between the bridges and the relationships. And I just think about how powerful it is to take the high road when you leave somewhere, so that leaves them wanting more rather than, man, I'm glad that guy's out of here. So I didn't want to shortchange you on time to talk about that. When you think about these relationships that you've built and the way that they interconnect everything, tell me about your thoughts on that, because I think you got more to share there.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, it starts with a interpersonal relationship before you even talk about technology. So iWork is a 29-year technology firm, started in 91. So if you put that in perspective, your business doesn't stay in business by accident in terms of being in business for 29, almost 30 years now, right?
Yeah.
So we start with the personal relationship, both at iWork and me philosophically from a leadership perspective. And so I think what matters is getting to know both your employers and employees alike to develop that trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that trust is inherent into really proliferating your business relationships, both in-state, out-of-state, et cetera. So it's not uncommon to find the most non-traditional connections from a business standpoint. And then all of a sudden you realize that we are all connected on some level. You know, technology happens to be a conduit that everybody needs and wants, whether it's, you know, web development or an app project or a IT services contract. But it's more than the service provided. It's more about the people behind it. And we're really proud as an organization here at iWork to not offshore anything. We always say, let's offshore to Michigan, right? Let's offshore to Royal Oak. Let's all of our employees are our employees. And we've taken a great deal of energy, effort, et cetera, to retain our employees. Our technical folks are recruited hard every day. But why they stay at iWork is because of those interpersonal relationships, and not dissimilarly of how we treat our people is how we treat our clients in those relationships outside of those things. So that includes my past employer relationships and making sure that, I know Mike's handicap, the former co-CEO at iWork. I know, you know, Bob Fish, what he wants to do professionally in terms of really changing the world through coffee. And those are really inspiring things to be a part of. But none of that was implicit to my job. It's not implicit to who we are as individuals. We all put our pants on one leg at a time. So I think it's not just our obligation, but our responsibility to really dig into those interpersonal business relationships. Mm.
You know, I love where you're going here with this, Jamie, and I think what's interesting to me is early on in that review, you use the word trust, and I'd like to spend some time with an expert like you that has done a good job of building trust and helping to develop that, because in a COVID world, it feels a little bit different. Everybody's talking over a Zoom screen meeting. We don't get the chance to sit down and just take a breath together and have a cup of coffee or whatever. Have you found some things that add or detract from trust in your journey of trying to build these relationships?
Well, sure. I think it's pretty evident right within the first 5 minutes. In my experience, if somebody's in it to win it, so to speak, and I guess what I mean by that, are they really investing themselves? They've already taken the time to give you the 15, 30 minutes or an hour of their time.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to make of that time? Are they going to spend majority of that time just, puffing out their chest and telling them how great they are? Or are they going to be good listeners?
Yeah.
And, you know, to earn that trust, I kind of always gone back to something my yaya or my grandmother used to tell us is, you know, you've got 2 ears and one mouth, and you've got to be listening twice as much as you speak when having those kind of conversations to really anybody to earn that trust.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really important. You know, one of my favorites, Stephen Covey, always talks about seek first to understand before you wish to be understood. You know, and I find diffusing difficult conversations and difficult situations comes with saying, hold it, slow up, let's sit down and let's have a minute here together and try to figure this out. And I think when people begin to realize you're listening, it's a powerful thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole per se, but if you just look at the current state of leadership across the country on both sides of the political spectrum,
yeah,
we've stopped listening to one another and we're just waiting our turn to talk. And
that's so, yeah.
And that's just so unfortunate on so many levels. Just from a pure leadership perspective, leaders need to listen in order to be effective.
Yeah.
If they're not listening, they're not doing their job.
Well, that's powerful stuff. And honestly, you hit the nail right on the head in terms of people. They're waiting so they can talk, not listening. And boy, what a difference it makes when you're engaging those 2 ears that your yaya told you about. I think that's a great lesson for us. And it's a great lesson you're giving us today here on the Leadership Lowdown. I'm so glad you tuned into the Michigan Business Network. We're going to go pay some bills and come right back. Have a great day, and we'll be right back in just a few seconds.
You can listen to the Michigan Business Network on SoundCloud, iTunes, on the smartphone app, and on its website at www.michiganbusinessnetwork.com. Michigan.
You've tuned in to the Michigan Business Network. This is Vic Verschereau, and today's guest is Jamie Stepania Bennett, and he is the Vice President, Client Solutions for iWork. And, of course, we're grateful to have some time. And right now, man, my hand has cramps in it from all the notes I'm taking with regard to Jamie's advice and information. So, Jamie, as we kind of unpack the leadership journey and you share with us some of the great lessons you've learned in your stellar career, tell me, are there any key elements that you might think about? I mean, say 1, 2, 3, or hey, this is really something that I found invaluable. Anything like that pop into your head?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, I think Dr. King once said, you know, the time is right to always do what's right, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think as leaders, we have, again, a moral obligation to do the right thing as leaders, irrespective of politics. But there's so many people and lives we can impact by doing the right thing. And sometimes it might not be the popular thing, but doing the right thing is so cogent in today's times across the board. So how do we do what the right thing without rocking the boat? Or sometimes we abdicate that responsibility by almost being too cautious.
Mm.
And so what I would say is I don't think it's appropriate, probably the word choice I'll use, to be shy, to make really good, bold decisions as leaders, to impact the greater good. I think as leaders, we have an opportunity to make some very powerful decisions. And sometimes I think it's analysis paralysis. Like, oh man, what if we say this, or what if we don't say that, or like, and then you end up saying nothing as a result. So, not being shy, being a little bit fearless in terms of some of the messaging that you might put out there as an organization. And the reason why is because you're in a leadership position for a reason. Very rarely in time will you get huge blowback, I've found, for making a really good, honest decision. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes leaders are paralyzed by indecision, by wondering what the blowback will be. And you miss that opportunity to protect an employee or enact a certain policy, or don't do this because of that, or do this because of that. And sometimes you just got to trust your gut and go with it.
Man,
and
so I think
making some powerful decisions is really important.
Yeah, and I think I want to play here a little bit because I think there's some really great stuff that you've got going. So one, it's the courage, the fearlessness to make the call, to gather the information and make the call. Don't be paralyzed by fear. Don't sit and wait too long so the call is not necessary. Do the important thing and make the call. But I want to ask you, because sometimes we make the call, and I've seen leaders do this where they come back because when they make the call, it was the tough call, might have been the right call, but they start getting blowback from it because of what's going on, and now they have the tendency maybe to reverse themselves. So can you tell me a little bit about making those tough calls and then having the courage to stand on that decision? And when is the right time to do about face? I mean, how do you know?
Yeah, sure. So I think it's twofold, right? You have to have the courage to stand behind the idea, number one. But you also have to have the courage to realize that the call you made might not be the right one either. I guess as long as you are operating in pure of heart and making the best decision with the information at hand and knowing what's best for both all stakeholders when making said decision, when you are making an about face or making maybe a pivot in said decision, you come out with it. You're out and you're truthful and you're straightforward about how you approach that.
Yeah.
Or regardless of the blowback, it's still the right decision. You stand behind it and you stand behind the policy, or you just stand behind the decision you made. And not everybody is going to like every decision you make as a leader.
Exactly.
That's the other part of this whole deal.
Yep.
And so you have to make decisions as a leader based on the values that are bestowed upon your organization.
Well,
and sometimes that's not going to be the popular one.
No, it won't be. And that's really important, Jamie, I think, to point out here, because making popular decisions might make you popular, but it does not necessarily put you in the right spot all the time. And I think the other thing is that leadership isn't about a popularity contest, but it is about a respect and trust confidence issue. So what I mean by that is always making the popular decisions can run you right into the ditch, but making the bold decision and having people go, yeah, I guess that was the right thing to do. I don't like it, but it's the right thing to do.
You couldn't have said it any better, Ben.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, I think part of that is trying to not over explain yourself, but I always like to give the whys in those kind of decisions. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think when you explain the why, whether people agree with it or not, at least they have some understanding of where the decision came from.
Yeah.
And I think that's really crucial.
Yeah, it makes all the difference in the world. Well, you know, I always have said, given the same set of information, you'd probably make the same decision as I did. And that's really what people that are outside of the leadership loop often don't have all that information. And I think it's incumbent upon leaders to share their story, the rest of the story, so that people can make at least a reasoned understanding of what's going on and say, okay, I get it. I'm going to go with that. And Jamie, this is really great stuff. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm glad you have had the time to tune in to the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versereau with Jamie, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Holman with a very important reminder. It's time to thank your clients and business associates with a very special holiday gift. Give the sweetest, made-in-Michigan treat, original Murdoch's fudge, fresh from Mackinac Island. So order now for special corporate savings. Delivery from island to offices begins November 20th. So order now. Visit originalmurdochsfudge.com. That's originalmurdochsfudge.com.
This is the Leadership Lowdown with Vic Bershiro here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm with today Jamie Stepania Bennett, and he is the Vice President Client Solution for iWork. And Jamie, I'm just so excited to have you with us because the information you've shared so much is truly powerful and really innovative. I think what's interesting in our last segment, we talked about making those tough decisions, and it reminds me of the way I try to do it. And sometimes bad situations can teach you how you don't want to be. And so my best example of that is when I would say, "Why, Mom?" And she says, "Because I said so." And boy, that was always a deal breaker for me. Can't somebody explain to me what's going on around here? And I think when we treat employees like, "Because I said so," that's a tough thing. So Jamie, I wonder, in your world, does it matter how you say those answers, how you're communicating? Tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you can put a hashtag behind it of some sort, it would be like tone matters.
Hashtag
perfect. Tone matters. So what does that mean in my mind is, you know, I kind of go back to my coaching. You know, I coach my son's little league team.
Right.
And, you know, how I talk to my son versus how I talk to my shortstop versus how I talk to my pitcher, depending on the situation, absolutely matters.
Mm.
Sometimes your tone needs to be firm and sometimes it needs to be very empathetic. Sometimes, you really have to play the tone to the situation, and not just to the situation, but also to that individual in taking that information.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take all those things into account, your message falls flat.
Right, right.
Regardless of what you're trying to get across, if you're someone that's using bombastic tone all the time, you're going to lose a ton of respect in the room. If you're someone that's, and by the way, when you do have to use aggressive tone, it's going to lose its effect.
Yep.
So really understanding why tone matters becomes so crucial to both the delivery as well as the message itself.
Right. Well, I think that's really interesting. We have an old saying, I don't know if I'll get it right, but I think people want to know how much you care before they care how much you know. And I think when you always come out as the bombastic, angry boss or unapproachable boss or uncaring boss, they know where you stand, but they don't want to share anything with you. And so you don't get good information from the front lines. And for somebody that seldom gets upset and uses a tone that's not their normal style, people tend to know that, ooh, I think he meant it that time. And so there's something to be said about that. But I love where your whole thought is going is because I think, and I need an expert like you to clarify this, Jamie, but I think when you have the right tone and you have the right commitment to making sure you're making quality decisions with all the information, you're communicating it correctly, and you're using good tone, in the end, you're setting a culture for your organization that I think you can grow with and live with, right? Do you feel strongly that ties into cultural building?
There is no doubt about it. There is a level of expectation, appropriateness that's required.
Yeah.
You know, being kind matters. Being right isn't always the end game here. So you have to understand who's ingesting that message, whatever that might be, when really adjusting that tone. But yeah, for sure it does. If you don't do that, I think you're missing as an organization, but
yeah, and so tell me, have you ever found it? Because for example, I used to have a situation where I had a large number of people that reported through my division, and one of the things that I did is when people came at me about a way that they felt things should be in the organization, I would always do a very kind and careful explanation of this is how and why we came up with these decisions. And then what I would do was I'd actually go into when they came back at me and went at me again, I'd take a little firmer approach and it would be more concise answer. And if they kept coming, I finally got really close to the "because mom said so" answer, which was really firm and direct. And so I think sometimes, you know, maybe because of personalities, people earn their own stripes on how we communicate to them. But I love what you said in terms of being kind matters. I think that's a major opportunity to build loyalty as a leader to those people that are depending on you to lead them. Is that part of why you see it that way, or do you see some other benefits?
No, I think that's it. I mean, in my mind, you know, you lead with kindness and respect.
Yeah.
I might not always agree with you, but I will always be kind and respect you. And I want you to know that goes both ways across anybody you communicate with in our organization is we're going to lead with respect for one another. We're not always going to agree.
Yep.
You know, my vice president of operations, he and I have an absolutely deep amount of respect. We're at odds professionally most of the time. And it needs to be that way for our organization to grow and be healthy. But we always come, we had actually a standing meeting just to check in with each other, make sure one another hasn't rubbed each other the wrong way, because we have a very professionally contentious relationship.
Yeah.
But it's rooted in trust and respect for one another and our roles to allow the greater good to proliferate.
Yeah, well, I think that's really interesting, because when we talk about tension, you know, remember the old saying, Jamie, that if all of us in the room think alike, then some of us are unnecessary. And I love the fact that, you know, I think those I don't want to say arguments, but that's sometimes the way it comes out. Those, that kind of stressful conversations about getting to the truth makes better sausage. You don't like it watching it being made, but it does create some great results. And we've got great results here today because you're on the show, Jamie, and we're so glad you tuned in to the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuro. We're going to be right back.
The attorneys of Foster Swift, Collins & Smith offer legal counsel to businesses, families, individuals, and municipalities throughout Michigan, with offices in Lansing, Farmington Hills, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Marquette, and Holland. Clients know they can count on Foster Swift for all their legal needs, from straightforward wills to sophisticated business transactions and complex litigation. Learn more about Foster Swift and how they can assist you at fosterswift.com.
You've tuned in to the Michigan Business Network. This is Vic Verschuro here on the Leadership Lowdown. James Stepania Bennett is the Vice President, Client Solutions for iWork. And I have to tell you, Jamie, we've got some great discussion going here. And one of the things I think was really interesting in that last segment, we talked a little bit about what happens when you have some people in your organization that have differing views. Praise the Lord, you've got people with differing views. That's good. But at some point in time, if I've got the right people that are passionately committed to the organization and dynamically motivated to make great things happen and are really fully engaged, that's a recipe for some people that can probably end up in a pretty heated situation pretty quickly, wouldn't you say? I mean, how do you manage those tensions and to keep them positive? Any tips for us on that?
Absolutely. I think it's making sure we're all rowing in the same direction in terms of what is the higher objective that we're all trying to accomplish as an organization.
Love that.
It's absolutely essential that we have a push-pull relationship. But at the end of the day, we need to understand what the objective is at hand and making sure our relationships are rooted in that intentionality. What is the intention that we're trying to project? As long as we're leading with good intentions and we have that foundation of trust, we're able to have some pretty intense conversations without it sacrificing the importance of our personal relationship, our professional relationship, and the overall objective of what we're trying to accomplish as an organization.
Right. Well, and I think what's happened to me is that I have the Now Discover Your Strengths book, one of that's written by Marcus Buckingham, as you probably know. But that book, I love that. They identify your top out of 30, I think 34 strengths. They identify your top five. One of mine that popped out first was belief. And part of what the challenge is for me is that there are certain things I believe, cornerstones in what goes on in my world and what I believe in and stand for, and things I won't stand for. And so it's hard for me to manage that when somebody crosses my belief stream. And so for me, I'm pretty passionate about what I do, or I'm not going to do it. And so I think that's really interesting when you get around some A type players, being able to manage all that. And so let me ask you this. When you have people that are reporting to you that you're oversighting and they're not getting along, you know, Jerry comes in and says this, and Sam comes in and says this, how do you manage something like that? Do you have any techniques or any ideas on what you can pass along on how you deal with that challenge?
Well, I think it's just breaking down what the issue is, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
What I've found more times than not, most people in those situations are absolutely violently agreeing of what they're saying. They're saying it in a different way.
That's funny. Yeah.
And it's true. They both are coming at it just from different starting places or different motives. And what ends up happening is we're both trying to accomplish the same thing. They're coming at it from different perspectives, where the lens they're seeing the problem through is entirely different.
Mm.
And so understanding the lens, you know, these guys are seeing this through this potential hypothetical problem, is equally as important as the problem of itself.
Right.
So let, you know, Gary see Sam's lens, let Sam see Gary's lens and say, okay, you understand where he's coming from, right? Well, yeah. You understand where he's coming from, right? Yeah. All right. Well, so what's the problem here, guys?
Yeah, you're getting close to a solution with those questions right there.
So you got to really unpack the problem, but really what I've found 8.5 times out of 10, and there's usually some just violent agreement going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it's really coming across as a status thing or a something that has nothing to do with the issue itself.
Well, you just brought up something that I think, I mean, the way you describe that scenario and what I see a lot of managers challenge with is that you just brought everybody into the room and sat them down and we talked it through. One of the funnest bosses that I ever enjoyed working for, his situation was he didn't want to ever be triangulated. And what I mean by that is when Jerry is upset, he comes and dumps his bucket on your desk, and then you go over and talk to Sam about it, and Sam dumps his bucket on your desk, and now you're going back to Jerry, and before you know it, you're just in a three-way travel log, and nobody's getting anything done. So what you suggested was bringing people into the room, letting them get their information on the line, and keeping the main thing, you can find a way beyond that bypass.
Yeah, I mean, we're all adults, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yep.
We can unpack most of these problems pretty quickly. I mean, obviously, there's some really like extreme examples we could go into, but I would say 9.5 times out of 10, you can figure this out just being respectful of one another and just bringing the adults in the room and say, okay, guys,
right,
what's going on here, right?
Yep. Well, and I think that's the other challenge for us is as we start thinking about drawing team members, you know, we've got to get team members that are willing to have our values, because I think what oftentimes I see is that we've got the wrong people on the bus, and if they don't hold their values for the team, you get into problems.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Well, I want to say that we've got one short segment left, and I'm so glad, Jamie, you had the chance to be with us today. It's been a lot of fun so far, and we're going to wrap it up here in the sixth segment that's coming at you here on the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Versaro, and we'll be right back.
Most of us aren't looking around for accidents waiting to happen. That would be sort of odd. But when you have Accident Fund Workers' Compensation Insurance, that's exactly what they are doing. Accident Fund employees are the WorkSafe people. They take your safety very seriously because that's all they do. Workers' Compensation Insurance. That's why they're rated A excellent by AM Best. Go to accidentfund.com/worksafe and get the WorkSafe people. Accident Fund is a wholly owned subsidiary of Accident Fund Holdings Incorporated, the 10th largest workers' compensation insurer in the United States.
You found the Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. This is Vic Versaro with Jamie Stepania Bennett. He's the Vice President, Client Solutions for iWork. And I have to tell you, Jamie, iWork or Big B Coffee or whoever it is that's got you buckled into their seat, they have to be one happy camper, because I got to tell you, what you've just shared in the last five segments is really just powerful stuff on the kind of things that people in leadership positions and management positions ought to be thinking about every single day. So thank you so much for being a part of that with us. And as you think about it, I guess I do want to circle back to try to figure out exactly the kind of work that iWork does, because there's some value propositions. And you said something that caught me by surprise, and frankly, it was offshore into Michigan. So tell me a little bit about that, so I understand and not making assumptions about what that means.
Sure. So, first of all, you know, Vic, on behalf of iWork and myself personally, thank you for having me on today. And it's been a great conversation. I always like talking leadership and trying to help folks any way I possibly can.
It shows. Thank you.
And so, iWork, we are a 29-year software company on one side of our business, and we're an IT services firm on the other side. And when I say offshore to Michigan, what I mean by that is we employ 60 technical professionals here in Michigan, both on the software development side of the business. You know, think about websites, mobile apps, custom ERP or APIs that need to be developed for your business. And then on the other side of the business, it's we are a break-fix organization, 24/7, 365 call center support and IT services, managed service provider. So thinking about our business on both sides of the spectrum, we're here to solve your problems from a technology perspective.
Right.
If you have a screen, we're there to help you. And so we don't send that work to India or China or, you know, South America or Belarus. We're here in Michigan, downtown Royal Oak, currently remotely, given the COVID situation, but yeah. We are still actively engaged with all of our clients.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's really exciting to be thinking about local solutions. And you know, with all that's in the headlines, I don't pretend to understand it, but I think what's interesting to me is that keeping it local just feels somehow safer, that we're not getting into some of those international markets that we don't know anything about, but it becomes a cheap alternative, or it becomes the way people just do business. But boy, being able to employ some of these outstanding people in Michigan and doing that right here in this beautiful peninsula, I think is really pretty cool. When you think about the type of projects that you might be able to help with, what are the stumbling blocks that people come to you for and say, man, we give up, we need help with this? Is there anything like that comes to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're coming to us for a need, right? So mm-hmm. Let me just give a semi-shout-out, so to speak, to, you know, it doesn't matter industry for us. You know, we're fortunate enough to have Big B Coffee, a proud Michigan company, as a client. We're fortunate enough to have Hudsonville Ice Cream under our client roster. Mm. And we're also enough to scale to the size of Ford Motor Company and work with Ford. So irrespective of size and scope, we really focus on what's your solution, whether it's ice cream or coffee or pickup trucks. We're touching a lot of different types of business, regardless of vertical market.
Yeah.
So what we try to do, we don't have a one-size-fits-all to what you're looking to accomplish. We really try to dig down to what does your business need as an ice cream CPG company, or a specialty coffee franchise, or, you know, somebody's trying to sell more Ford pickup trucks. So I guess the whole idea behind solutions are where we start, and then we figure out the best solution based against what the problem is. So we really pride ourselves of being more of a solution company than a technology company, because, you know, everybody needs technology. Everybody across your network needs our services. It's more about how do we approach your solution as an individual organization to get what you need accomplished?
Well, I think that's really engaging that you talk about the about being a solution focused organization, because, you know, it kind of reminds me of what's that old saying, if every problem in the world is a nail, your every solution is a hammer. And I think when you say you're an IT company, and that's the focus, well, everything becomes an expensive IT program. But it sounds like we start with, let's talk about where you want to be, and then let's find out, you know, what the steps would be along the way. But we're looking for the solution first, and then we'll build whatever path we have to from there. I that's what I heard. Is that kind of where you're at?
100%.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty powerful when you think about that. And real, Jamie, I just am so grateful that we had the time to get together to talk about this. You've lent some incredible information. So let me just say thank you. It's been great to have you here on the Leadership Lowdown.
And thank you. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. And thank you to iWork for being an organization that's committed to Michigan, founded in Michigan, and doing all the right things for some great companies. And thanks for those companies for choosing a Michigan brand to help take them home. We're so glad you chose the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuro. I look forward to talking to you next time.